我们回到解经圣经难题的讲座里面。
And today we will return to the expository preaching on difficult passages.
你们还记得不记得最后一次讲什么呢？
The last time we preached.
记得吗？
Can you remember the topic?
讲什么？啊？世界末日。
时间。
啊，不是解经的最后一次，上个礼拜的不一样的哈。
The week before.
我们讲圣经难题最后一次讲什么？创世纪第四章
Genesis,
我们讲什么
chapter 4,
讲该云被赶出诺言。
We spoke about how Cain was expelled.
你还记得吗？
Can you remember this?
该云被赶出诺言。
Cain was expelled from the paradise.
也就是第一次给我们看见
The first time we witnessed
这世界的状况跟原先的受造完全不一样的真正的原因了。
The true reason why the world is now different from the original creation.
神创造人的时候，
When God created man,
人是按照上帝的形象样式造。
We were created by the image and likeness of God.
人是尊贵是荣耀的。
We were given honor and glory.
当上帝原先创造人的时候，
When God originally created us,
使人可以享受他。
He let us enjoy his presence.
人像他。
To be like him,
人可以活在他的恩典之中，
and we can live within his grace,
可以听他的话语，
to hear his words,
明白他的心意，
to understand his will,
走在他的道路中，
to walk upon his pathway.
但是这样尊贵的活物，
but such an honorable living creature,
最后一定要被赶出去。
In the end, was expelled.
亚当夏娃被赶出诺言。
After Adam and Eve was expelled,
该隐被赶去在全地流浪。
Cain was expelled into the wilderness.
这些就是原罪的一个结果。
These are the result of the original sin.
基督徒与非基督徒对文化的解释不同的地方。
The difference between the Christian understanding of culture and the non-Christian.
非基督徒用进化的眼光，以为世界一直进步，一直进步。
The non-Christian believe that the world will evolve into a better situation.
而凡是有良心的人。
But those who have conscience
都证明世界的进步跟世界的堕落是同时发生的。
Will realize that the world progresses, but at the same time become more decadent.
当科学越来越发达的时候，
when we have more and more scientific advancement,
人的良心越来越黑暗，
our conscience become more and more dark.
当教育越来越普及的时候，
when education becomes more common,
人类的道德越来越沦落，
our morality begins to slide.
这个现象，世界的人用进化论去解释是没办法明白。
And you cannot understand this from evolution.
而基督徒对文化的透视。
The Christian have a deeper understanding of culture.
根据对创世纪这些很原始的事件的了解。
And this understanding is based on the events in Genesis.
我们怎么样看这个世界呢？
How do we look at the world?
我们看这个世界。
When we look at the world,
是透过历史上曾经发生的一件大事情。
We see through the angle of something that happened in history.
就是人类的堕落。
And that is the fall of man.
从堕落起人认识历史。
We understand history from the fall of man.
从堕落去透视文化。
To be able to go through culture.
从堕落去破解社会。
And to analyze the society.
那么你对整个世界人类的了解就不很离谱了。
If you do this, you will have a more correct understanding of humanity.
这是圣经给我们的最重要的智慧之一。
This is one of the most important knowledge from the Bible.
我们活在这个世界，怎么认识这个世界呢？
How do we understand the world we live in?
我们透过怎么的眼光去认识我们的环境？
Through what angle do we understand our environment?
人是不是透过自己被造的有限理性去分析一切的一切呢？
Do we analyze all things with our fallen created mind?
没有。
No.
我们是透过神所启示的圣经。
We use the revealed word of God.
所记载的历史事实。
The historical facts that have been recorded.
我们抓到一把钥匙去认识这个事情。
And we find the key to understand all things.
这个历史事实中间有一个很重要的记载。
There is an important recording in this historical fact.
人曾经堕落。
And that is we once fell.
人曾经背叛上帝。
That humanity betrayed God.
所以人在这个背叛以后。
After this betrayal.
他这个世界的文化。
The cultures of the world
是没有办法用进化论去了解的。
Cannot be understood with the theory of evolution.
里面蕴藏着一个很大的矛盾。
Implicitly, there's an irony here.
理想的崇高。
There is a very high ideal.
跟事实的背离。
But a very low reality.
两样一共并存。
Both of them coexist.
为什么神所造的这么尊贵、这么荣耀的人类
？Humanity has been made with honor and glory.
结果损失。 堕落，直到今天这样的情形。
But today we see decadence all around us.
为什么犯最大的罪恶的人，很多是最受高教育的人呢？
Why would those who are highly educated commit the greatest sin?
当英国这伟大的文化大国。
In England, the culture and civilization is great.
在一次他们的足球队失败的时候，
Once their football team lost a match,
他们的百姓就显出非常卑鄙、非常无礼、非常不受教育形态的反叛出来了。
The people immediately went into a riot, a most despicable and barbaric action.
为什么？德国哲学界是最牛耳引到全世界思潮的地方。
And Germany is a place where philosophers lead the way.
产生了一个希特拉，在第二次世界上损害了7000万人的生命。
But Adolf Hitler came from Germany and killed 70 million people in World War II.
这些野蛮的行动
，all these barbaric actions，
都是在最高超的文化地区产生出来。
Came from the most advanced civilizations.
为什么受了2500年？孔子思想熏陶的中国文化
，and China has been influenced for 2,500 years by Confucius.
突然产生了一个像毛泽东这样非常反文化的人。
But suddenly Mao Zedong emerged, and he was against civilization.
这些的解释
，the explanation for all these things，
神创造所给人的潜在崇高的本性
，tells us that God has given us a potential for great ideals.
以人类堕落以后离开神的悲壮两。悲惨的状况，两件事是并行的。
But at the same time, after we have fallen from God, we live a despicable life.
我们同时心里面有个很伟大的理想。
So at the same time, we have great ideals in our hearts.
我们也同时在我们生活里面有像禽兽一样的堕落。
But we also have decadence in life, like as if we are animals.
很奇怪的一件事情。
The strange thing is,
当该隐受刑罚漂流在大地上的时候
，When Cain was punished by in the wilderness，
他对上帝讲一句话
，and he said to God，
见到我的人必要杀我。
Those who see me will surely attempt to kill me。
这句话不证明当时世界上远方已经有很多的人。
It does not mean that there have been many people in the world。
这句话也不证明上帝创亚当以外又在其他的地区创造了同样的人。
Or that God has created humanity apart from Adam and Eve。
这句话是告诉我们，该隐已经推算出来，人会再生很多的人，而会把过去的事情告诉他的孩子，所以那些知道我杀我兄弟的人，都会为亚伯的缘故把我杀死。
This tells us that Cain must have figured out that descendants will then kill him because he had killed Abel.
因为该隐是第一个亲眼看见妈妈生出他的弟弟来的一个女人。
Because Cain was the first person to have witnessed a human birth.
所以呢，除了把该隐看见妈妈生亚伯以外，他相信以后他的母亲还会再生别的孩子。
Cain must have figured out that the mother will have more children.
那么男女配合产生了后代这个事实是他救起来的。
And suddenly he realized that more descendants will come.
所以以后的日子呢，父母一定把过去发生的事告诉儿女。
And the mother and the parents would have told the children the things that had happened.
这样夏娃会生许多的孩子，成为替另外一个哥哥，就是亚伯报复来杀害我的人。
And the descendants of Eve would have taken revenge upon Cain.
那么上帝对该隐说什么呢？
And God said to Cain,
我在你的身上要给你个记号，免得人杀你。
I will put a mark on you so that you will not be killed.
我要把那些如果有杀你的人，要给他们遭报更多的仇，更多的仇恨。
And those who kill you will get their vengeance a lot more.
所以这句话表示上帝不许可恶人就消灭掉哎。
This tells us that God does not allow the evil man just to disappear.
像该隐这样坏的人，不是马上消灭掉、完掉了吗？
Cain was an evil person. Why shouldn't he be destroyed?
早早把他消灭掉，不是世界更和平了吗？
Wouldn't there be peace on earth if Cain was gotten rid of?
神常常宽容人。
But God is forgiving.
神常常等候人。
And very often he will wait.
到时间到，罪恶盈灌的时候，才做一次的大的算账。
And when the time is up, God will usually take action.
而该隐犯罪以后
，After Cain has sinned,
他被迫流离全地的时候
，He was forced to go into the wilderness.
他没有失去他的恩赐才干
He did not lose his gifts and talents.
他没有失去神放在他里面的潜在功能。
Nor did he lose the potential that God has given to him.
所以他的子子孙孙就变成在文化上很有成就的人。
And so his descendants had great works done in civilization.
他的子孙中间
，Among his descendants，
最先使用铜器的人。
There were people who first used bronze.
最先打铁的人。
People who were blacksmiths.
最先吹笛跳舞的人。
People who had flute and dancers.
这是用具的文化。
The tools and civilization.
艺术应有的文化。
An artistic culture.
在该隐的下辈里面都产生出来了。
These appeared in the descendants of Cain.
如果我把中国青铜器的时代。
If I explain the bronze era of China.
跟圣经记载该隐的后代制造铜铁的时代。
And compare it with the era of the descendants of Cain.
那么可能的盖云比我们中国的青铜器的时代更早好几千年了。
Probably the era of Cain will be a few thousand years earlier than that of China.
中国的青铜器，我认为最成功的时代是商朝的时代。
The Bronze Age has its climax at Shang Dynasty.
当然，杨邵文化。龙山文化这都比商朝更早很久以前的事情。
There were early civilization like 杨邵 much earlier than the 商朝。
他们只有制造瓦器，制造这一个陶器，没有制造铜器。
But what they did was porcelain and ceramic, but not bronze.
商朝的铜器是很精致、很对称。非常有雄壮气魄的一个时代。
And the bronze artifact from Shang Dynasty were very grand.
商朝到现在是3500年。
Shang Dynasty was 3500 years ago.
商的时代就是摩西的时代。
And those were the era of Moses.
但是该隐的后代的时代是摩西更早几千年的时代。
But the descendants of Cain were thousands of years before Moses.
现在我们要讲什么呢？就是这些堕落的人还有很大的文化功能。
This tells us that even the fallen humanity has great functions.
最先制造乐器。
They first created musical instruments.
最先制造铜器。
And also bronze items.
人把上帝所造之物改成被文化者使用的器皿，这是很伟大的一件事情。
It is great that humanity can use creation and make it into tools.
共产党的理论告诉我们。
The communism tells us
人类是唯一能够用工具的货物。
That the human being is the only living being that can use tools.
从古代进化到人的时候，最大的突破，人可以用物做器皿来增进自己生活上一切的方便。
The idea is that the greatest breakthrough in humanity is that we learn how to use tools to improve our lives.
我曾经对这句话很有兴趣。
I was once very interested in this declaration.
后来我发现这句话不是绝对的。
Then later I found it was not absolute.
你说当然吧，人用锄头，人用轮子，人用刀，动物哪里会用这些东西？
Humanity can use all sorts of tools like the wheel and the knives and the iron tools.
但是你发现呢 ，beavers， 我不知道中文翻译什么鼠啊？
赖鼠是吗？
赖鼠啊，不是很赖的鼠，但是是赖鼠。这赖鼠呢，它可以用木头。一只一只的木枝啊，树枝呢，组成一个水坝，来把自己的家园保护得很好。
But beavers can make a dam using twigs.
然后在那期间呢，他们生儿养女。
And then they have they reproduce within the dam.
或者不要说生儿，说传宗接代比较好。
And just have many baby beavers.
所以动物也会用工具的。
So animals could use tools as well.
你看这些败坏的人的子孙。
But the descendants of those who have fallen,
他们有很高的智慧。
They still have very profound knowledge.
文化工具的发明。
The ability to invent tools.
还有艺术跟娱乐的享用。
And enjoy and express art.
所以他们的子孙有跳舞吹笛人的祖先。是一些制造铜铁器的祖先。
And so they become ancestors of artists and dancers and those who make tools.
他们领受的还是普遍的恩惠。
They have received general grace from God.
所以这样呢，他们一方面很聪明，一方面很堕落。
On the one hand, they are very intelligent. On the other hand, decadent.
他们一方面很有文化，一方面是非常败坏的生活。
They have culture, but live a very despicable life.
善恶并存就变成这个世界的记号了。
And the mark of the world become a coexistence of good and evil.
神许过很多犯罪的人活在这个世界上。
God has allowed the existence of many sinners.
那神也兴起一些善人以及敬畏他的人与他们一同活在一起。
But God also raised holy people to live with them.
是该隐被亚伯被杀以后。
After Abel was killed,
上帝再把撒特赐给亚当跟夏娃。
And God gave settle to Adam and Eve.
那个时候人又回来求告耶和华的名。
And then they come back and call upon the name of the Lord again.
这世界就有两批的一个祖先了。
And so there are two ancestors.
一个就是把罪恶带到人类中间来的人。
One would be those who brought sin to the world.
一个就是继续保存对神的敬畏跟敬拜的那些人。
The second would be those who still have reverence for God.
今天我们看见西方的世界。
When we look at the Western world,
受了两种文化的影响。
Both cultures will influence them.
这两种文化已经变成普世文化的基础。
And it has become the foundation of universal culture.
一个就是希伯来文化。
The first one will be Hebrew culture.
第二个就是希腊文化。
The second one will be Greek culture.
中文两个都是从希开始，两希文化。
And in Chinese, it's C for both.
英文都是两个 H 开始。
不是啊，一个 H 一个 G。
一个两个都是 H。
啊 ，both H。
一个叫做 Hebrew culture。
Hebrew。
另外一个叫做 Hellenistic culture。
Hellenistic culture。
为什么我不用 Greek culture？
Why not Greek culture？
Greek culture 不够涵盖整个地区。
Because Greek culture regionally is not wide enough。
所以我们用希腊，不用 Greek。
So it's Hellenistic。
啊，中文就翻译成希腊，应该翻译成格里格。Greek 嘛，格里格文化嘛。但是不，中国人早就知道应该翻译是 Hellenistic， 因为希腊的意思就是 Pan Greek， 泛希腊文化。
In the Chinese translation is Pan Greek， much larger than Greece。
因为希腊单单在这个巴干半岛的南部跟小亚细亚的西部这两个地方罢了。
Because Greece is but nearby Asia Minor, very small place。
那么马其顿都不进去了。
And Macedonia is not included。
还有小亚细亚东部的地方就不进去了。
Eastern region of Asia Minor is not included。
北非也不进去了。
And Northern Africa is not included。
把这个提高到更大的范围就变成希利尼文化了。
And so Hellenistic culture includes all these other regions.
今天你告诉我，西方有什么东西不是受这两个文化影响的呢？
Tell me which things in the West are not influenced by these two cultures.
西方有世界运动大会 Olympic 就是希腊文化的影响。
The Olympic is from the Greek culture.
西方有读圣经敬拜上帝就是希伯来文化的影响。
The West they read the Bible and this is from Hebrew culture.
西方有 wrestling 摔跤。就是希腊文化的影响。
Wrestling come from Hellenistic culture.
西方有注重道德四条诫命，就是希腊文化的影响。
And there is emphasis on morality. It comes from Hebrew culture.
西方有民主制度，是希利尼文化的影响。
And in the West, democracy come from Hellenistic culture.
希利尼制度里面的民主根本不是真的民主。
But the democracy is not real.
所以到了改教时期，因为发现人有上帝的形象，是政权不可随便欺压的，这个真正的民主才产生出来了。
And real democracy comes through Reformation, where we understand that man is made in the image of God.
西方的信仰是受希伯来文化的影响。
Western faith is based on Hebrew culture.
西方的这个学术是受希伯来希利尼文化的影响。
But Western academia is influenced by Hellenistic culture.
所以希伯来文化灌注了西方心性的需要。
And so the Hebrew culture controls what is needed in the heart.
希利尼文化灌注了。这个整个西方理性的需要。
But the Hellenistic culture influence what is needed in the mind.
希利尼文化产生了西方的科学研究方法论。
Hellenistic culture give rise to scientific matters in the West.
希伯来文化产生了西方的金钱跟信仰的系统。
But the Hebrew culture influence reverence and the system of faith.
希利尼文化的道德是非常卑劣的。
Hellenistic culture has a low approach to morality.
希伯来文化是产生的这个伦理的制度是非常坚强的。
But it has a very strong idea of ethics.
是这两样的来源。
These two sources
就产生了整个西方传统文化的产生。
Form together the entire Western civilization.
那么希利尼文化比较注重现世的生活。
Hellenistic culture places emphasis on pragmatic things.
希伯来文化比较注重永恒的价值。
Hebrew culture on eternity.
希利尼文化比较注重现世的系统。
Hellenistic culture places emphasis on the present system.
希伯来文化比较注重永恒的方向。
Hebrew culture places emphasis on the future direction.
你今天看的建筑。
If you look at an architecture today,
多数是受希利尼文化的影响。
Most have been influenced by Hellenistic cultures.
希腊的三种最著名的柱子在新加坡许多地方都有。
The three design of Greek architecture can be seen in Singapore.
你们那个广场。
The Padang.
前面的那个法院。
The City Hall.
跟你们是还 Supreme Court 是吗
？And the, yeah, Supreme Court.
跟这个法院就用了两种希腊的柱子建起来的。
Is built based on two Greek designs.
一种是叫做呢 Ionic Order.
One is called the Ionic Order.
另外一种叫做 Corinthian Order.
And the Corinthian Order.
所以新加坡也无形中受了希腊的影响了。
And so Singapore is influenced by Hellenistic culture as well.
当美国独立的时候
，When the American had their independence,
国会讨论一个事情
，The Congress had a discussion.
我们这新建的国家
，In this new nation,
要用什么形式来建立我们的首都呢？
How would we build our capital?
所以他们讨论了不是大半天，好几个半天。
They actually discussed for many, many days.
他们决定走希腊民主的典范。
In the end, they wanted to follow Greek democracy.
所以呢，整个这个华盛顿的建筑
，and so Washington D.C.
几乎清一色都是受希腊的影响。
All the architecture almost had been influenced by
the Greek. 那么这样好的跟坏的一同掺杂，对上对下的一同掺杂。良善的跟敬虔的一同掺杂，邪恶的跟不信的也一同掺杂，就影响了我们这个世界。
And our world is influenced by the coexistence of so many things, the good and the bad, the evil and the holy.
神不准人杀该隐。
God did not allow Cain to be killed.
神照样把很多恩赐给该隐的后代。
And still give many grace to his descendants. 该
隐的后代有了许多文化的成就。
They have great accomplishment in civilization.
然而这样一直拖延下去。
And there was a delay.
直到时间到的时候
，till when the time was right,
神就要消灭败坏的世界了。
God will destroy the evil world.
那么神许可该隐的后代存在。
God allowed the descendants of Cain to exist.
神又使亚当夏娃再生了撒特。
And then enable Adam and Eve to have Seth.
所以呢，亚当夏娃不但生该隐跟亚伯两个人。
So not only was Abel and Cain born,
又生了撒特。
They also had Seth.
在第五章第四节告诉我们
，Chapter 5 verse 4 tells us，
亚当夏娃有生儿养女
，They had other sons and daughters，
所以叫亚当夏娃有许多许多的子孙了。
So Adam and Eve had many children。
那么呢，圣经有没有记载亚当几个男孩子、几个女孩子呢
？Did the Bible tell us how many sons and how many daughters？
圣经从来没有记载。
No, it did not。
那么圣经有没有记载亚当有女儿呢
？What about daughters？
有，
yes，
圣经有记载。
There is a recording.
名叫什么不告诉我们
The Bible didn't tell us the name of the daughter
多少也不告诉我们
Or the number of them
只不过在五章第四节说亚当夏娃又生儿养女
Only in Genesis 5 verse 4 Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters
他的儿女有多少人
How many were there
我们不知道
We do not know
亚当是活了930岁
But Adam lived 930 years
所以如果他每三年生一个他就有310个孩子了
If he had one child every 3 years, you would have 300 over kids.
如果他像我们两代以前的祖母祖父，每一年生一个，他就有930个孩子了。
If he had a child every year, he would have 930.
如果他胎胎双胞，就1860个人。
If there were twins, it's 1,800 people.
所以我们不必怕亚当没有子孙。
So we need not worry that he had no descendants.
很多的儿女
，many sons and daughters.
这些儿女长大起来
，and when they grew up,
也看见他的儿女。
They will look at their children.
他的儿女又看见他儿女的儿女。
They will see their children's children.
所以你不奇怪啊。
So you will not be surprised.
亚伯拉罕活在世界上的时候。
That when Abraham was alive.
挪亚看见过他。
Noah would have seen him.
挪亚把亚伯兰是十代。
There are 10 generations separating the two.
对，挪亚到亚伯兰是十代。
10 generations between Noah and Abraham.
这个是创世纪的记载。
This is a recording of Genesis.
如果根据路加福音的记载
，based on the Gospel of Luke，
挪亚到亚伯拉罕是11代。
From Noah to Abraham would be 11 generations.
你从创世纪的数目算下来
，if you were to count this way，
挪亚看到亚伯拉罕活到七八岁才死了。
Noah would die only when Abraham was about 8。
所以这些可以口传继续下来。
All this information was passed from mouth to mouth.
这个叫做 oral tradition.
This oral tradition
就产生了历史的这些可靠的原先证实第一个人称所看见的事迹的报告。
And these are reporting reports that come from first person account.
怪不得该隐说。
And so Cain said,
我恐怕见到我的人把我杀死。
I'm afraid that I will be killed by those who see me.
那现在我就不再提第五章的事情了。
I will not talk about chapter 5 anymore.
这样我们看见神的儿女，我们看见敬虔的人跟败坏的人一同活在这个世界上。
So we see that in the world there are those who are holy and those who are evil living together.
到第六章的时候
，But when chapter 6 comes,
一开始忽然讲了一句很重要的话出来。
Suddenly, an important verse was declared.
当人在地上生养众多，渐渐增加的时候
，And when men began to increase in numbers on the earth,
上帝的儿子。
The sons of God
见人的女子很美丽
saw that the daughters of men were beautiful
就随意娶来做他们的妻子
and they married any of them they chose
这件事情呢引起上帝大发脾气
and this matter incurred the wrath of God
所以就发生了圣经里面最难解释的一段的记载了
and then a most difficult passage in the Bible came out
现在我们大家一同翻开创世纪第六章
Let us turn to Genesis chapter 6
我请弟兄们念第一节
Let the brothers read verse 1
然后我们请姐妹们念第二节
The sisters verse 2
我们一同来思想这两节圣经到底讲些什么东西弟兄们一同来读创世纪第六章第一节一二三当人在地上多起来有生女儿的时候上帝的儿子们看见人的女子们美貌就随意挑选起来为妻第三节大家同读现在姐妹们读耶和华说人既属于血气我的灵就不永远住在他里面然而他的日子还可以到120年第四节一同开声来读那时候有伟人在地上后来上帝的儿子们和人的女子交合生子那就是上古英武有名的人这段的圣经是圣经所有经文里面最难解释的其中的几段之一
This is one of the most difficult passages in the whole Bible
这段圣经里面隐藏的字很难了解
It is difficult to understand some of the words
因为当人在地上生养众多的时候
When men began to increase in numbers on the world
应当是上帝非常欢喜快乐的时候
It should be something that is joyous to God
因为上帝原先造人的时候
Because when God created men
就隐藏了这个目的
That this is one of the purpose
人要在地上生养众多，遍满全地。
That we are to multiply and fill the world.
这岂不是上帝的心意吗
？So it is the will of God.
上帝不是要人生养众多吗
？That we reproduce.
上帝不是要人遍满全地吗
？That we fill the world.
但是第六章忽然间讲这句话。
But chapter 6 began.
当人在地上多起来的时候呢
？To tell us that when men increase in numbers.
就是第六章，上帝决定要消灭人类。
In chapter 6, God decided to destroy men.
这个要怎么解释呢
So how do we explain this?
原先造人要遍满全地。
He made men to multiply.
原先造人要生养众多。
Originally to reproduce.
而到了第六章，人真的生养众多了。
But when chapter 6 come and they really did it.
人的数目增加的时候呢
When men began to increase in numbers.
突然间转变心里说，我要把这些人，凡有血气的都消灭掉。
And suddenly God declared that all will be destroyed.
在没有消灭挪亚时代的人类的时候
Before the destruction of the people in the era of Noah.
这段圣经记载什么事情呢
This passage tells us.
上帝的儿子们
That the sons of God.
看见人的女子美貌
Saw that the daughters of men were beautiful.
就随意挑选
And they married any of them they chose.
娶来为妻
To become their wives.
耶和华说人既然束缚血气
And the Lord said since they continue
我的灵既然束缚血气
Or since he's mortal
我就不把我的灵永远放在他心里
My spirit will not contend with men forever
这样呢他们在地上的日子 我再给他们120年。
His days will be 120 years.
我就消灭整个人类了。
And I will destroy the whole humanity.
那么这句话里面隐藏着什么很深的奥秘，以至于上帝生气到这个地步呢？
What sort of mystery is here that will incur the wrath of God?
你说上帝不许可人找漂亮的太太吗？
Does that mean that God does not want us to have beautiful wives?
全本圣经从来没有这样的教训。
The Bible doesn't say that.
有谁因为灵性好故意找丑八怪的太太呢？
Is there a spiritual person that look for ugly wives?
有的人是不是因为他的道德基础比较强，所以特别选比较难看的女人呢？
Would a person who is moral seek for a wife who is ugly?
难道这样的人才上帝心意中间的人呢？
Is this then pleasing to God?
难道娶漂亮的老婆是上帝不许可的吗？
Is God not pleased when our wife is pretty?
圣经从来没有这样的教训。
The Bible doesn't say that.
所以圣经告诉我们，很多伟人太太都很漂亮。
The Bible says many of the wives of great men are beautiful.
亚伯拉罕的太太。
The wife of Abraham.
到90岁还有人要抢她。
When she was 90, people still wanted her.
有史以来绝大美人呢。
So she must have been most beautiful.
我们29岁人家就不要她。
Some will be rejected at 29.
她99岁还有人要她。
But Sarah was in demand in the 90s.
要 99, not
99.
差不多90岁的时候。Yeah. 不但如此。
Not only that.
要她的人呢。
The person that went for her.
是王耶。
Was a king.
90岁还可能被选做皇太后吗？
So she still could be a queen at 90.
至少做王妃吗？
And be a concubine maybe.
就怎么可能呢？
How is it possible?
亚伯拉罕实在选了最漂亮的女人做他的太太。
And so Abraham's wife was most beautiful.
上帝没有说你这样没有灵性。
God did not say you're so unspiritual.
为什么不娶一个母夜叉做老婆呢？
Why do you not look for a monster?
我就不要你了。上帝从来没有为亚伯兰娶漂亮太太责备过他一句话。
God never rebuked Abraham for his beautiful wife.
没有什么错。
So nothing was wrong.
选美丽的老婆有什么错？
Nothing was wrong to find a beautiful wife.
是谁创造美丽的？
Who created beauty?
是不是上帝造灵性好丑陋的人，魔鬼加工把它弄美的呢？
Was it something that Satan did to those who are
unspiritual? 谁最爱美的呢？
Who is most
我相信宇宙中间最爱美的就是上帝，所以他造了这么多美丽的东西。
God must love beauty more than anybody else.
今天早上我讲一篇道理，里面有几句话。
This morning when I preach, I had some words.
上帝造乐理，上帝没有造音乐。
That God has created the music theory, but not music.
上帝造美丽的风景，上帝没有造油画。
God created beautiful scenery, but not oil painting.
上帝造逻辑的理论，上帝没有造哲学。
God created logic but not philosophy.
但上帝把这些才干放在人心里面。
But God gave men the talent for philosophy.
上帝把音乐的恩赐放在人的里面。
And musical talent to men.
上帝把绘画的天资放在人里面。
And artistic gifts to humanity.
应许要把很多的恩典给我们。
And promised that he will give us many gifts.
虽然恩典是白白的。
Although these gifts are free,
当我们领受上帝应许的恩典以前，
before we receive the promised gifts,
我们要很痛苦地发挥我们里面已经原有的潜在能。
We need to express our potential that we already have.
才把音乐带出来。
And then we can produce the music.
才把图画画出来。
Then we can paint the painting.
才把哲学的思想想出来。
Then we can have philosophical thoughts.
才领受神早为我们预备的白白的恩典。
Then we can receive the free gift that he has prepared for us.
Sola gratia doesn't mean no struggle.
Sola gratia 不是说没有挣扎。
You should have the suffering, have self-denial, have diligence in research, in sacrificing, deny yourself in order to get, to obtain everything promises by God.
首先你要经过苦念，你是要经过苦难，你才能够得到上帝所应许的东西。
这是一个很重要的恩典恩泽。
This is an important principle of grace.
因为对恩典神学的错误，就产生了没有办法修正的灵性。
Because we have a wrong theology of grace, our spirituality often goes wrong.
对恩典神学的不觉悟，使人没有办法过一个荣耀上帝的生活。
When we are not conscious about the theology of grace, we cannot live a life that is glorifying to God.
这样美是上帝造的。
So beauty is a creation of God.
善美真艺术圣洁，这些都是神的本性。
All goodness, beauty, truth all come from attributes of God.
这样当神的儿子挑选人中美丽的女子随意起来为妻， 有什么错呢？
So there is nothing wrong to have beautiful women as your wife.
为什么？因为这件事，上帝要发脾气，把全人类消灭掉呢？
But why was God angry and wanted to destroy humanity?
这其中一定有另外的原因，是我们还没有查出来的。
So there must be a reason that we are not aware of.
但是这里告诉我们一个很重要的关键。
But there is an important point here.
上帝的儿子们
，the sons of God，
看。人的女子们
，so that the daughters of men
很美丽
，were beautiful，
就随意娶她做她的妻子
，and they married any one of them they chose。
那么这里呢，提的是上帝的儿子们娶人的女子们，什么意思呢
？What does it mean to say the sons of God married the daughters of men？
上帝的儿子们是谁呢
？Who were these men, sons of God？
上帝的儿子们是不是基督徒啊
？Are they Christians？
那个时候，耶稣基督都还没到世界上来。
But Jesus was not on earth yet。
这里提了上帝的儿子们到底是谁呢
？So who were these people？
这样，请你注意创世纪。
Take note of Genesis。
诗篇。
Psalms。
约伯记。
Job。
旧约圣经里面好几次讲上帝的儿子，上帝的儿子，上帝的儿子，从来没有一次是讲人。
Many a times when they refer to the sons of God, they do not refer to men.
当圣经讲上帝的儿子，上帝的儿子所讲的都是指天使。
Many a times sons of God refers to the angels.
所以我们从这里得到一个线索了。
So we have a clue here.
是不是天使跟人结婚呢
？Could it be that angels married men？
那么问题又来了。
But the question is,
天使没有身体，怎么会跟人结婚呢
？Angels are spiritual and not physical.
天使没有性官、性器官，他怎么有性功用呢
？And they do not have sexuality.
天使是灵
，They are spirit.
人是有身体的
，But human being is physical.
结婚的时候是心灵跟身体有同样的结合。
And there is a union of the spirit and the physical body in marriage.
你只有心灵上面的爱，没有身体的可能，那结不成婚。
Marriage cannot come when there is no physical existence.
如果你只有身体的结合而没有心灵的合一，那是交配，不是结婚。
If you just have sex with someone physically without a sharing of spirit, it is not marriage.
这是人与动物不同的地方。
This is where we differ from animals.
动物有性，没有爱。
Animals may have sex but not love.
如果他有爱，是本能的爱。
If they have so-called love, it is instinctive.
不过是一种非常属于身体血气方面的本能的爱。
Something that's instinctively needed for them physically.
人有性又有爱。
But for the human being, we have sex and we have love.
人的爱是超过身体的器官功能的。
And our love surpasses the human physical functions.
人的婚姻制度跟永恒是有关系的。
Marital function, therefore, is linked with eternity.
当两个真正相爱而结合的人
，When two persons who are truly in love come together in union，
发现他们衰老的时候，身体的性功能已经没有办法进行的时候
，When they discover that they can no longer have sex when they grow old，
他的婚姻还是存在的
，They will still remain married。
他们的性功用已经不存在了
，Although they cannot be sexually functioning。
在婚姻中间有肉体的结合。
In a marriage, there is physical union.
在婚姻里面更需要有心灵的合一。
And certainly a spiritual union.
那么呢，天使如果是灵体
，If angels are spiritual beings,
天使只有灵体没有身体
，They would not have physical bodies.
他怎么可能跟人结婚呢
？So it's not possible for them to marry human.
圣经从来没有告诉我们有天使跟人配合成为婚姻的一对的这种例子。
And the Bible has no other examples of angels being together with men.
但是全本旧约告诉我们，神的儿子，神的儿子都是指天使，不是指人。那这一段到底在讲什么呢
？But the other portion of the Old Testament refers to angels when sons of God were used.
因为没有例外的
，There are no exceptions.
全本旧约
，The whole Old Testament，
每一次神的儿子、神的种子、神的儿子、神的种子出现的时候，就只能解释就是天使。
When the phrase the sons of God appear, it has to be angels.
不但如此
，Not only that.
耶稣基督自己告诉我们，天使是不嫁不娶，没有婚姻关系。
Jesus Christ himself declared that angels do not get married.
有一个人抓了一个问题来问耶稣基督。
There was a person that came to ask Jesus.
他们根本不相信复活。
These people do not believe in the resurrection.
这些人是当时的新派。
And they were the liberals back then.
他属于是这一个。是撒都盖派的 的那个学者。
And they belong to scholars from the Sadducees.
他们相信人只有今生的生活，没有所谓复活的事情。
They believe that the present life is it. There is no resurrection.
如果你相信复活
，If you believe in the resurrection，
那一定有些问题你没有办法解答。
There will be some questions you will not be able to solve.
他们就想了一个办法来难倒耶稣。
So they wanted to trap Jesus Christ.
他们透过耶稣大的手把他的把柄抓住来控告他。
And to accuse him by the way he answered a question.
因为耶稣基督的这个信仰是比较靠近法利赛人相信人有复活的这种事实的。
The faith of Jesus was similar to the Pharisees that there is a resurrection.
所以撒都该人就来问耶稣了。
So the Sadducees asked Jesus.
根据摩西的律法。
Based on the laws of Moses.
有一个人跟太太结婚了。
If a person get married with a woman.
还没有孩子，这个丈夫就死了。
And the husband would die before there's any children.
没有留下后代怎么办呢？
There is no descendants.
所以呢，他的弟弟要为哥哥的缘故把嫂嫂娶过来做他的妻子。
The brother will take care of the sister-in-law as wife.
To marry
her.
然后呢，发现跟他没有生孩子，这个第二个哥哥又死了。
And then without any children, the second son died.
所以第三个孩子就照着规矩要把他的嫂嫂再娶过来做他的妻子。
And the third son will then take over the sister-in-law again as wife.
你说不能啊。
You say no.
第一个是真正谈恋爱结婚，第二个一点都不爱他。
You say that the first one comes from love, the second one out of obligation.
怎么可以勉强跟我的嫂嫂结婚呢？
So you cannot do this.
哥哥死了，我要替他行事。
The brother is dead, now he has to take care of the wife.
我要有一个这样的规矩，娶一个寡妇做我的妻子。
To take the widow as one of the wives.
所以这个规矩呢，撒都该人根本不接受。
And so the Sadducees would not accept this tradition.
他最不能接受是什么呢？
But the worst part was,
如果七个兄弟都娶一个嫂嫂。
If there are seven brothers that end up having the same woman,
以后七个兄弟都死了。
If all of them died,
最后这个女人也死了。
And in the end, the woman died.
那么到复活的那一天，
on the day of the resurrection,
这个女人到底是谁的太太呢？
So who will be the real husband?
所以他们就用这个问题来难倒耶稣了。
So they thought that they could trap Jesus with this question.
耶稣基督怎么回答呢？
And the answer from Jesus,
耶稣说：“你们谁不明白圣经？”
was that you do not understand the Bible.
当复活的时候。
On the day of resurrection,
人就像天使一样的。
We will be like the angels.
也不嫁，也不娶。
We will not marry or be given away in marriage.
所以你们认为这个问题中间隐藏的困难根本不存在。
Therefore, the difficulty does not exist.
耶稣这个回答什么意思呢？
What does this answer mean?
表示复活是有的。
It means there is a resurrection.
复活有的婚姻是不需要的。
But there is no need for marriage.
因为那个时候人已经脱离了这物质城市的生活。
At that time, we would have escaped from a material world.
我们进到灵界的范围里面。
And entered into a spiritual world.
我们进到不需要性结合的这种生活状况里面。
Into a lifestyle that does not require sex.
如同天使也不嫁也不娶。
Like the angels, they do not marry.
所以根本没这个问题。
So the questions would not exist.
你不必问那个时候这个女人是谁的太太。
You do not need to ask who is the real husband or wife.
你不必问在天堂还有七个男人同时结合一个女人的事情吗？
Or that in heaven there will be seven husbands for one wife.
没有。
It will not
exist. 为什么呢？
Why?
因为我们复活的人就像天使一样的。
The resurrected will be like the angels.
那么从耶稣这一句话来说，
From this declaration of Christ,
表示他告诉我们天使没有性交的可能。
He is telling us that angels will not have the need for sex.
天使没有跟人结婚的可能。
And so they will not marry human beings.
所以你不能用这个前提来解决这一段的圣经。
So this verse cannot be solved this
way. 那你说好了，明白了。
Okay, we understand that.
这一定不是天使。
So this cannot be angels.
这个就是人。
They are men.
但是呢，解释圣经的人从另外的圣经看见不是这么简单的。
But those who try to understand this will find this as not so simple.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为天使有善良的，有邪恶的。
There are good angels and bad angels.
善良的天使是圣洁的。
Good angels are holy.
也是帮助人的。
And those who minister to men.
邪恶的天使是诱惑人的。
But evil angels seduces men.
邪恶 而且天子是做犯罪的榜样，叫人跟他一同犯罪的。
And become examples of sinners.
所以他们在圣经里面找到一段的圣经。
They have found a passage in the Bible.
来证明天子可能有奸淫的行为。
To prove that angels can commit adultery.
天子可能有性交的可能。
Possibility of sex.
那么他们有身体怎么性交呢？
How do they do this?
他怎样做这样的事情呢？
How do they do things like this?
所以他们就找到了一段的圣经来稍微了解这个可能性。
They found a passage to try to understand this.
这些都不是我们应当相信的事情。
But these are not things that we should believe in.
但因为他们引用的圣经，我们要注意。
But we need to take note of the quotation.
我们才负责任明白到底神的话是什么。
So we can understand the word of God correctly.
那么现在他们引用的圣经是什么呢？
What passage is this?
就是犹大书第六第七节。
Judah chapter 6.
现在我们大家都打开。
Verse 6.
打开犹大书。
Jude 6.
犹大书在哪里？犹大书在启示录前面的一本。
Right before the book of Revelation.
犹大书是不是加勒人犹大还没有吊死以前快快写一本书叫做犹大书呢？
Jude was not written by Judas.
不是。
No.
这个犹大是耶稣的弟弟犹大。
Is the brother of Jesus Christ.
前几年
a few years ago,
考古学发现有一个盒子是2000年前里面提到犹大跟雅各是耶稣的弟弟。
Discover a box that has inscription James and Jude, brother of Christ.
很多人就发现这是伟大的考古发现。
Many people thought it's a great archaeological find.
去年被证明那是假的。
Last year it was found out to be a fake.
我们不必接受这个考古学进来的这个成就。
So we need not accept some of these findings.
但是这里讲的犹大
，But the book of Jude
真正就是玛利亚的儿子
，is the son of Mary.
真正就是耶稣的弟弟
，and the brother of Christ.
不同的地方，犹大是玛利亚跟约瑟生下的孩子
，But Jude is a son from Mary and Joseph.
耶稣基督是童贞女玛利亚生的孩子
，But Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary.
犹大书的信息很简短。
The message of Jude is very short.
但是里面隐藏了一个很重要的思想，我们要现在要来看的。
But there is an important passage here.
第六节，请大家注意看。
Verse 6.
又有不守本位，离开自己住处的天使，足用锁链把他们永远地拘留在黑暗里，等候大日的审判。
And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chain for judgment on the great day.
这里所讲的不是耶稣所说的天上的使者不起不驾的那种圣洁天使，不是。
So these angels are not the holy angels as referred to by Christ.
不是指良善的天使。
Or good angels.
不是指圣洁的天使。
Or the holy ones.
不是指没有犯罪的天使。
Or angels who did not sin.
不是指神所拣选的天使。
Or the angels that God have chosen.
这里所讲的天使。
The angels referred to here.
是犯罪的天使。
Are those who have sinned.
试探人的恶者。
The evil one that tempts us.
不守本位的灵界的受造物。
Those created spiritual beings that did not hold to their authority.
他们不守本位。
They did not keep their position.
他们犯了罪。
They have sinned.
上帝就把他拘留在黑暗里直到永远。
And God has left them in darkness till eternity.
第七节你们读啊。
And verse 7.
一同读第七节。一二三，又如所多玛俄摩拉和周围城邑的人，也照他们一味的行什么？行什么？行淫，随从灭性的情欲，就受永久的刑罚作为鉴戒。
In the same manner, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire.
那这里第七节在讲什么呢？
And verse 7 was talking
about 索多玛、摩摩拉被上帝毁灭。
How Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God.
因为他们犯奸淫。
Because they committed sexual immorality.
不但犯奸淫。
Not only that.
而且是逆性的情欲。
They had perversion.
什么意思呢？
What does this mean?
同性恋。
Homosexuality.
违背上帝正面的性功用。
Against the normal sexual function that God has created.
产生不应当的性交合。
So they had illicit sexual functions.
抵挡上帝创造的定律。
Against the rules and principles of creation of God.
他们犯奸淫。
They had sexual immorality.
这个城市被消灭的原因。
is the reason why they were destroyed.
所多玛、俄摩拉灭亡是因为行淫的缘故。
Was destroyed because of sexual immorality.
那他们的行淫是根据哪一种模样去行淫呢？
What sort of model was this immorality?
造作他们就是第六节讲的天子一味行淫。
It's like in verse 6, based on verse 6.
The Sodom and Gomorrah people,
in a similar way,
they committed adultery just like those angels. 所以这里暗示呢，天使行淫，所多玛拉就跟着他们一样的行淫。
And so the words in a similar way implicitly say that it's the same as the angels.
这一个 解释是绝对的吗？不一定是绝对的。
This may not be the absolute answer.
我们要这样相信吗？不一定要这样相信。
And we may not need to answer it this way.
有这样的解释占据了人类历史几千年的时间。
But this explanation was around for many thousands of years.
我们在解这段圣经的时候不能不注意这个解释。
And we cannot just ignore it.
所以呢，根据这些圣经呢，
Based on this verse,
它就分开来了。耶稣所讲的天使不娶不嫁是指好天使。
That Jesus was referring to good angels.
而犹大书所提的行淫的天使是指坏天使。
And Jude referred to the evil angels.
所以当耶稣提到基督徒在天堂里面，他告诉我们，我们根本没有性功能的需要，那个时候已经像天上的使者一样。
Jesus referred to how we will be like the angels without sexual functions in heaven.
但是犹大书告诉我们，所多玛、俄摩拉的人，他们像邪恶的使者一样，诱惑他们犯罪。
And but Jude says that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, like the evil angels, sin.
邪恶的天使就是魔鬼，他不但叫我们犯其他的罪，更叫我们犯奸淫的罪。
Evil angels would be the devils that would tempt men into sexual immorality.
那么你说这些邪恶天使也没有身体呀、啊、
？But then they also have no physical bodies.
他们就没有性器官呐、啊、
？Or sexual organs.
他怎么可能犯奸淫呢
？So how can they commit adultery?
所以我这里要大胆提出一句话，请你思想一下。
I want to boldly suggest this.
当圣灵感动玛利亚生孩子的时候。
When Mary conceived by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit,
这就是一个人可以领受灵界的力量，生出一个孩子来。
This is an example of how a human being can give birth to a child by the power of the Spirit.
这不是性的关系。
But this is not a sexual function.
因为圣灵是用感动的方式，然后创造主把这个耶稣这个胎呢放在他的里面。
And Jesus was born by being conceived by the Holy Spirit.
这是圣灵的感孕。
And this is a conception by the Holy Spirit.
那么魔鬼会不会就用这种模仿的办法要跟人发生关系，使人产生孩子呢？
Could it be that Satan wants to use the same method to produce descendants with men?
无性可能产生孩子吗？
Asexual reproduction.
没有性的结合可能产生孩子吗？
Reproduction without sexuality.
今天我们看 cloning 不是要用无性生殖的办法吗？
And cloning, for example, is a reproduction without sex.
今天我们看有许多模仿上帝使人可 reproduce 同类出来的方法，在科学里面被研究。
And there's many scientific study on reproduction like nature.
当然，我不要你想成圣灵跟玛利亚发生关系，不是这个事情。
I am not telling you that Holy Spirit had a relationship with Mary.
因为上帝是创造者。
God is the creator.
神是唯一可以实无变有的创造的主。
He is the only Lord that can create something out from nothing.
他可以使通真理里面有道成肉身的胎放在他的中间。
And he can have a conception from the word becoming flesh.
所以如果撒旦要与人发生关系产生孩子，怎么解释我是不明白的。
I can't quite understand how Satan will produce descendants with men.
我已经对你说，你不一定要接受这个理论。
So you may not want to accept this.
但这个理论曾经有几千年占据解经的这个历史。
But for thousands of years, it was one of the explanations.
所以我们不能不注意。
So we must take note.
换句话说呢？
In other words,
天使要借着人的女子
through the women,
产生一种的活物。
Angels may want to produce a living being.
不是纯粹的人。
That is not pure human being.
所以他选最美丽的女人。
So they selected the most beautiful one.
随意结合。
and have married them.
后来真的生了一些古代英勇有名的人。
And produce the great men of old.
那么圣经没有讲是天使。
The Bible didn't say that they are angels.
圣经就说是上帝的儿子们。
But the sons of God.
所以这句话是很难很难解释。
So this is a very difficult passage.
那么这些古代英勇有名的人是谁呢？
Who were these great men, the Nephilim?
古代英勇有名的人，希伯来人叫做 Nephilim。
The Hebrew call them the Nephilim.
Nephilim 什么意思呢？
What does this mean?
堕落者。
It means the fallen one.
所以请你注意。
So take note of this.
圣经里面人因犯罪的行为而堕落。
We fell because of sin.
所有都是因行为而堕落。
All because of our actions.
这里生出堕落者是因被生而堕落。
But here the Nephilim were born fallen.
这个是怎么样解释呢？
How do you explain this?
生出一个堕落者出来。
That you have given birth to a fallen one.
所以被生出来的这个品种不是上帝造的那个品种。
So it is not the type that God has created.
上帝造的原有上帝的形象。
The things that God has created, the human being has the image of God.
现在生出来是堕落的形象。
But now a fallen image was born.
这个跟神的创造是有距离的。
There is a gap between this and the creation of God.
这个理论如果是有可能的话。
So if this theory is proven right.
也就是说呢，撒旦要改变人种。
It means that Satan may be attempting to change humankind.
使人就不像人。
That we are no longer look like what we are today.
不像有上帝的形象。
Not having the image of God.
使这种生出来的货物就是堕落者的货物，所以神就不会救他们了。
And so these are creatures that God will not save.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为上帝的救恩只给人类，不给天使。
The salvation of God was given only to men and not to the angels.
你说是吗？
Is this the case?
圣经这样讲吗？
Did the Bible say that?
我告诉你，希伯来书第二章第十六告诉我们。
Hebrews chapter 2 verse 16 says,
上帝不救拔天使，只救拔亚伯拉罕的子孙。
That God will not save the angels but only the descendants of Abraham.
那么为什么只救拔亚伯拉罕的子孙呢？
Why only the descendants of Abraham?
因为亚伯拉罕的子孙是人。
Because the descendants of Abraham is the human being.
天使不是人。
And angels are not human beings.
撒旦犯罪以后没有救赎为他跟他的污鬼部署来预备。
After Satan has sinned, there is no salvation for him and his followers.
但是人犯罪以后，
But after men have sinned,
上帝就对人应许女人的后代有伤蛇的头，要救出他们脱离撒旦的权势。
And God gave the promise that the descendants of the woman will hurt the head of the snake and save men.
如果是这样，我就开始明白了。
Now we begin to understand.
怪不得这个可怕的天使就是魔鬼的计划，要影响这个救赎的大计，所以上帝大发脾气。
That the wrath of God came because Satan possibly wanted to change the whole plan of salvation.
上帝为什么因为人娶美丽的女子就消灭人类，脾气发得这么大，有点不合理吧？
It seems unreasonable that God would get so angry just because there's marriage going on.
但是如果生下来的人不人，鬼不鬼，天使不天使，肉体不肉体，灵性不灵性，这个怪物是神不能再救的，那上帝的救赎大计就完全破坏了。
But if the descendants are not men nor angels but a mixture, then the salvation plan of God would be destroyed.
所以上帝知道这个天使邪恶天使这么大的诡计，他就要毁灭这些人。
And so God wants to destroy all this because of the evil plans of these evil angels.
这样解释不是比较合理的吗？
This explanation seems quite reasonable.
所以这个理论呢，
This theory
一直成为希伯来人解这段圣经的内容。
Has become an explanation for the Hebrews to explain this.
到什么时候呢？
Until
到第二世纪的时候，
the second century.
基督的教会建立起来了。
The Church of Christ was established.
使徒们的教训传下来了。
And the teaching of the apostles was given.
教父们已经把它融会贯通了。
And the church fathers have understood.
新约的神学建立起来了。
The theology of the New Testament was built.
新约的解经章完全不接受这个理论。
And the people who did exposition did not accept this theory.
The New Testament Bible interpreter no more accept this theory. 所以呢，新约的解经家
the scholars of the New Testament
就扬弃了这种天使跟人性结合的这种神学思想
rejected this theological idea that angels will be combined with men.
那他们怎么解决这个事情呢
So how did they explain this?
他就提到这个神的儿子们在这里的出现是全本圣经中一个例外
They say that the phrase the sons of God is an exceptional phrase here.
什么例外呢
What sort of exception?
这里所提的
the sons of God here
敬虔求告上帝的人的子孙
refers to the descendants of the Adam and Eve that were reverent
他们在性的问题上
in the matter of sex
在婚姻的问题上
and marriage
整个以外貌为本
they base everything on the physical attractiveness
神认为这是大罪
and God considered this as a great sin
这个好像跟刚才讲的有一些抵触
it's a bit contradictory to the earlier version
但是当整个世界这一批敬畏上帝的人都犯这个错误的时候
But if all these people who were holy make the same mistake
就不能产生敬虔的后代存在这个世界上
You then will not have holy descendants in the world
所以神就要消灭这些从犯罪产生的新品种是毁灭了神整个计划的那些敬虔后代的可能性
And God would then destroy all these ungodly descendants
所以呢就要消灭这个大地
And so the world must be destroyed
上帝说我给人的时间还有120年
And so God said that he has given men 120 years
上帝的怒气就要来到了
Before the wrath of God come
那么到了第五节的时候
By the fifth verse
耶和华看世人众人所思想的尽都是恶
The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth has become.
所以上帝就后悔造人在地上。
And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth.
所以今天解这段时间还没有解完。
We have not finished with this passage.
我们怎么明白上帝要毁灭人以前，他竟然说他后悔创造人在这个世界上呢？
How do we explain this verse that God regretted making man?
如果上帝真的会后悔的话。
If God can regret,
岂不等于上帝没有永知也没有预知的功能吗？
Does that not mean that he has no ability of foreknowledge?
如果上帝会后悔的话，
If God can regret,
岂不等于上帝也会做有做错事的可能吗？
Does that mean that there is a possibility of him making a mistake?
下个礼拜我们要更深入的思想为什么神说他后悔。
Next week, we want to think about why God declared himself as regretting.
来明白这些很可怕、很难解释的圣经。
To understand these very horrifying and difficult passages.
今天我们把第二个理论建立起来。
So today, we have established the second theory.
乃是告诉我们敬畏上帝的人。
That the sons of God refer to godly men.
千万不可以效法世人的标准。
It tells us that godly men should not follow the world.
千万不可以随从肉体眼目的情欲。
And follow the lust of the eyes.
千万不可以只满足身上的需要。
And just want to satisfy your physical needs.
放弃了对神的关系。
And abandon our relationship with God.
也放弃了在地上建立敬虔后代的责任。
And to get rid of the abandon the responsibility of raising godly children.
我们应当在神的面前。
Before God,
有对神的敬畏。
We need to have reverence.
神的旨意的遵从。
To follow His will.
神的原则的认识。
To understand His principles.
在建立我们地上家庭的时候。
And when we build our family on earth,
我们不根据世界的标准。
We do not do this based on worldly principles.
我们根据上帝的标准。
We want to do it based on godly principles.
求主赐福给我们。
May the Lord bless us all.
今天晚上。
This evening,
我们所领受的
what we have received,
使我们观察好几度的方面
we have seen it at various angle,
最后归纳起来
in summary,
是提到我们与神的关系我们与己的关系我们与神本性中间良善圣洁公义我们遵行顺从的关系
that we understand that it is a passage about our relationship with God our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with the obedience of the will of God
然后靠着神的恩典
by the grace of God
尽神要我们尽的责任
we should fulfill the responsibility that is given to us
在地上建立一个属灵的家
and build a godly family on earth
来把神的旨意继续不断在后代中间遵行出来
That the will of God will continue in our descendants.
愿上帝赐福给我们。
May the Lord bless us all.
我们低头祷告。
Let us pray.
当我们低头闭眼睛的时候。
When our eyes are closed and our heads bowed.
有哪一个人说主啊，求你怜悯我。
Is there a person that say, "O Lord, have mercy on me"?
求你教导我。
Teach me, O Lord.
给我不是随从情欲。
That I will not follow my desires only.
不是随从自己。
And do not follow my own will.
乃是舍己顺服你。
But that I will deny myself and be obedient to you.
在你的旨意里面定我的意向。
I want to set my will within your will.
求主帮助我。
May you help me.
有这样的人。
A person like this.
请你把手举起来。
I ask that you raise your hand.
感谢上帝，感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
许多许多人
so many of you.
愿主帮助我们不走世界的道路。
May the Lord help us not to take the pathway of the world.
这世界和其上的情欲都要过去。
Because the world and its desires will all pass away.
唯独遵行上帝旨意的人
，Only those who do the will of God
是永远长存
，will live forever.
我们低头祷告。
Let us